The second installment of Salt Air. Now, this week we're going to spend a lot of time talking about some of the new Salt releases that just came out. Just last night I was able to cut Salt 0.10.5. There's a lot of new features, there's a lot of exciting things that have happened in this release, and there's a lot that we have relative to the direction that we're going. We're going to talk a lot, too, about the new Salt API, which we're in the process of releasing today. Salt API comes with a lot of exciting features that are going to allow us to start moving forward on getting the web UI out to the world. Now, let me switch over and start talking about the exciting things that are happening today with SaltStack. If I can push the right button. There we go. Now, like I just mentioned, we're going to be talking about Salt 0.10.5. We're going to go through the release announcement, talk about the new exciting features that we have in here, and then start introducing people to Salt API. Now, 0.10.5 comes with a few core features. The external job cache is something that I'm really excited about. We've had the returner system for a long time, but this takes the returner system to a brand new level, making it a lot easier to share data across your minions. We've added a lot of core functionality that helps us start integrating with OpenStack. And OpenStack integration has not only come to Salt proper, but it's also come in a great way to Salt Cloud. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. The Wheel system is a new modular API that allows you to connect to the master and manage aspects of the Salt system from the master itself. Render pipes is an exciting new component in the renderer system that was added by Jack Kwan that allows you to stream information from one system, from one rendering system to another when you're writing your SLS files. We've given Salt Key a complete overhaul. It's been rewritten from the ground up to be more API-centric, easier to plug into, and easier for the APIs to gain access to. The outputter system's been modularized, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how that works. But basically, it allows you to print output to the display in any way you can imagine. Unified module configuration makes it even easier to configure how systems are going to be managed and how systems are going to be configured back for individual modules. And finally, we've done a substantial overhaul of much of the ZeroMQ communication system, which is allowing the pub/sub mechanism that we use to communicate out to the minions to be much, much more reliable, faster, and take care of some of the problems that we were beginning to run into. So, I want to talk a little bit first about what this external job cache is and what an external job cache means. Now, I just got told that I have no video. So I might have to start this thing over again. Okay, we're going to try and get back into the screen share and see if we can make it work this time. All right. Looks like things are looking a little better. Sorry about that. Let me back up in the slides really quick. Now, talking about the job cache. Now, since the beginning of SALT, we've maintained a job cache inside of the SALT system. Now, this job cache has been a short-term list of all of the executions that have occurred on all of the minions. We've done this to keep track of historic data, which you could then go back and query. Now, the job cache was stored on the file system on the master in a bucketing system. Now, this system is still available, and you can look at the job cache. It exists by default under the cache dir in the directory jobs. So in a default installation, the job cache is located under /var cache salt jobs. But we wanted to make that job cache a lot more flexible. And so we've built it into the returner system so that you can cache jobs over a longer period of time. The built-in job cache by default starts cleaning them out once they're 24 hours old. And after the job cache has been around for 24 hours, then you start losing your history. So we wanted to make it possible to use any type of third-party database to store all of the job cache information over the long term and then go back and query it. This makes it very easy to be able to store a large group of information and then have other minions get access to what a different minion's return value is. So right now we have support in for an external job cache that's running on Redis and MongoDB. We're working in the next release of SALT to include a lot more NoSQL databases, since they map very easily to the type of data that our jobs return, and also adding SQL database support. Finally, we've also added a new minion module so that you can use the new RET module to find out information that's stored inside of an external job cache. Now, OpenStack editions. We've had the good fortune of communicating with and beginning to work more with members of the OpenStack team. Hopefully, SALT turns out to be a very good addition to OpenStack deployments. But we do have the beginnings of modules for managing OpenStack's Nova interface, Glance, and Keystone. We're working towards filling these modules out and integrating the Keystone system into the authentication of SALT so that SALT better integrates on every level with OpenStack. This has been a really exciting advancement inside of SALT to be able to work so much with the OpenStack teams. Another thing that I want to bring up relative to OpenStack is that the up-and-coming SALT Cloud release, which we should be expecting maybe today, maybe in a few days, also comes with advanced OpenStack integration. So this is one of the first places where we've got integration into another platform on multiple levels and from multiple projects from within SALT. Now the next thing I want to talk about is the SALT wheel system. Now the wheel system is something that a lot of people aren't going to really need to worry about inside of SALT, but it's a critical component for the development of the SALT UI. And it's a critical component of the development of the SALT API system. What the wheel system does is it allows someone to have API or remote access into the management of the SALT master itself. This is the back-end system that's going to allow the up-and-coming SALT web UI to have access back into managing SALT's configuration files, managing SALT key, looking and peering into the state trees and pillar, as well as modifying state trees and pillar. I'm really excited about the wheel system, but again, it's probably not something that a lot of people are going to be interacting with directly. The wheel system also is controlled with granular user control, so you can give specific access to specific components in the wheel system to specific users via the external auth interface. Now, the benefit here is that you're able to say, well, I'm going to give these users read-only access to SLS files or to the pillar, or I'm going to give a certain user full administrative access to the entire back end of the SALT master. And so all of those things are partitioned out in a very granular way. Next, we have the render pipes system. Now, the renderer system, as many of you are aware, has for a long time consisted of renderers that are already built inside of, assuming that the SLS file is first going to be passed through a templating engine and then passed through a serializer. So basically, you pass through the Jinja templating engine, and then what gets pumped out of that gets passed into YAML. Now, what's exciting about render pipes that Jack Kwan has given us in 10.5 is that while all of the old settings still apply very cleanly, you can now manually specify that you want to send something through a certain rendering engine and then a certain serializer. What else is exciting about render pipes is that it allows us to clean the code up a lot so that we don't have to reproduce the Jinja code over and over and over again when we are putting across YAML and JSON. We don't need to reproduce the YAML code when we're putting it across multiple templating engines. Another thing that's exciting is that it allows you to make SLS files more meta, meaning you can have one interface that generates code for another interface. So a big thanks to Jack Kwan on his additions. He's become a much larger contributor just over the last few weeks. Next, we've got the SALT key overhaul. Now, SALT key works the exact same way as it's always worked from the command line. You don't need to learn anything new. Everything is as you would expect it to be. But on the back end, to facilitate the wheel system being able to easily interact with SALT key, SALT key has been completely rewritten to function from an API, a purely API perspective. The original SALT key was written by me for the first version of SALT, and long before I had the perspective to make it a complete API-based system. So what's exciting about this is that you can now directly from Python, if you're integrating on a code level with SALT for your deployment systems, interact with SALT key to accept, generate, and move keys around. This also, very importantly, provides the back end that we need to integrate with the SALT API system. And finally, as we're going to talk in a few moments, SALT we've just modularized the outputter system, which means that the SALT key is now using the outputter system instead of making up its own way to display information and text to the terminal. This is also important from an API perspective because it makes it all the easier for us to operate SALT key and return data structures that are written in formats such as YAML without having to ever go back and parse information that's coming off of the CLI. Now that's a lot, that ties right into what I was talking about, the modular outputter system. In the past, we've had some deep code that defines how outputters work, and we had a very strict set of a few outputters. Now, the outputter system, if you're not already familiar with it, is the system that tells SALT whether or not to display the return information that it's receiving from a module function, is text, or to display it as JSON or YAML, or you use Python's prettyprint, or in the case of state.highState, when SALT returns a very verbose and colored output for all of the state data, all of these things are being passed through different outputters. So, adding a modular outputter system means that it's much easier for us to just plop in a Python file that's going to evaluate return data in a different way, and makes it so that it's a lot easier for you to say, well, maybe I don't want to parse it on the command line. I want to write something that converts this data into structures that I'm going to expect as an end user. So the Outputter system is now a lot easier to hook into and a lot easier to extend. So if you want to take a look at the existing outputters in the raw Python source, then go to the salt source directory, go under salt, and then under the output directory, and you'll see the code that is actually used to generate all of the output. Finally, there's this new concept of unified module configuration, which we're introducing. So what's been happening is that there are a lot of modules in Salt, a lot of execution modules and returner modules, to be specific, that require configuration. So for instance, if you have a returner that is returning to Redis, it's going to need to know where the Redis server is. If you have the MySQL execution module and MySQL states that are managing MySQL servers, you need to know where those servers are, login credentials, and the like. In the past, all of that information has always been configured via the minion configuration file. Now, the problem with that, of course, is that you have to configure the system that you use to stand up and configure other systems, which I always felt was a rather silly thing to do. And so the module configuration system allows you to configure things in multiple layers and in multiple places and then read it according to a certain priority. So what this means is that you can now set options pertinent to modules inside of the master config, and they'll get automatically noticed and applied back in specific minion modules. You can still specify them in the minion config like you used to, or you can always specify those options as raw values, raw keys inside a pillar. And so the end result is that if you've got a global database server that is pertinent to all of the minions inside of a deployment, you can just specify the credentials and the location of that database server in the master config, and all of the minions then become aware of it. It's also nice because you can use the minion config to still specifically override those values on a minion. Now, all of these options can also be seen using the new config modules option function. So you can execute salt config.option and then pass one of the options that you're sending down to the module system, and the config.option is going to return to you what the value is being recognized as for all of those minions that are recognizing that option. All right, we're going to release Salt API. I think I mentioned this, that Salt API is going to be released hopefully by the end of the day today, maybe tomorrow. But Salt API 0.7.0 is coming. Salt API 0.7.0 is really exciting because we've had a lot of time to refine exactly how the API is going to work. We've had a lot of time to focus on working with exactly what needs to happen to make it as flexible as a Salt project needs to be, but also deliver all of the interfaces that it needs to. Now, the Salt API is a modular system, so it allows you to create APIs and plop them into Salt API in a very clean way, the same way that all of the other Salt module systems work. This would allow a user to say, maybe I don't want to use the default API that comes with Salt API, which is using CherryPy to make an HTTPS REST server. And so you can easily drop your own modules into Salt API to facilitate an API system. But the default system that we have is built on top of CherryPy. It's fully encrypted using TLS 1.3. All the documentation for this system is available out on Read the Docs, so you can go and take a look at how it works. and it abstracts all of the internals of controlling the Salt Master. So the wheel system that we've talked about before, the best way to get access to that wheel system is via Salt API, module executions and data, as well as returner information, is all available via the new Salt API system. What's exciting about this, the second release of Salt API, is that this is the platform that we need to be able to start developing on the Salt web UI. And so you're going to see a lot more development come out over the next few weeks about the Salt web API. Hopefully we have a bare bones, very ugly, usable system up soon that you can take a look at out of Git. Now I want to talk about our community involvement for this release. This release, despite the fact that it's only been about 3.5 weeks in the making, has been some of the most active, or I shouldn't say some of, they have consecutively, each progressive week has been the most active week in Salt development that we have ever seen. Over 800 commits have come in for Salt 0.10.5. Roughly 49 individuals have contributed to the development of Salt 0.10.5, and in such a short period of time, which makes this a really exciting release. I really wish that we had enough time in Salt Air to go down the list and talk about every individual and every individual's contributions, but the reality would be that I would have to sit here talking for somewhere in the order of 3 days to get through it all. Now, as always, I want to talk a little bit about an individual in the Salt community. Some of the things that some of these people have done to bring Salt to the place where it is today. And so I want to talk a little bit about Pedro. Now, Pedro's handle on GitHub and in IRC is SoundTech. He's a brilliant engineer that we've gotten a lot of help from. Pedro was the fourth contributor to Salt when he built the log system that Salt has used ever since, back in May of 2011. Pedro has also built all of the parser system that's used for Salt's command line parsing. So, as you may have noticed, I believe it was 0.10.3, the parser system, all of a sudden when you ran salt-help, everything was a lot prettier. Everything was a lot cleaner and sectioned out inside of the help messages. And so Pedro brought that to us. He also got rid of a lot of the code repetition in there. Now, one of the things that Pedro's done more than any other system inside of Salt probably has to do with the tests. Thanks to Pedro, the Salt test system is substantially more robust than it would have been if he wasn't involved. He's given us many of the tests that we rely on to make sure that Salt is still performing and not regressing. Pedro is also currently the third largest code contributor to Salt with respect to how many lines of code he's given. And he's the fourth largest contributor to Salt relative to the number of commits that have been put in. So I just want to express my thanks to Pedro for everything that he's done and the fact that he keeps working very hard on helping us deliver a fantastic platform for everybody. It's also noteworthy that Pedro's been involved in the development of Salt Cloud and the Salty Vagrant projects and pushing those forward as well, primarily in Salt Cloud. He's integrated the logging and the parsing system into Salt Cloud for the next release. We're very excited about that. And he's also been instrumental in working with Salty Vagrant to help it bootstrap Salt minions inside of VMs that Vagrant spins up, and a lot of his work there has been working towards improvements in the testing system so that we'll be able to even more accurately and more quickly test all of the capabilities of Salt across multiple platforms. Now I want to give a brief update of what's been going on with the SaltStack company. I want to talk a little bit about our new SaltStack.com. It's just the beginning of a new website that's starting to look a lot better than it did in the past. A lot of that theming and a lot of the visuals that we're seeing on saltstack.com are going to be transferred over to saltstack.org and to all of the documentation, so that we're able to deliver a very consistent and clean look across all of our websites. We have a training coming up in London starting on December 3rd that we still have a few seats available for. And I want to mention the fact that SaltStack has been able to start selling more support contracts. The better that we're able to, support contracts and license agreements, the better that we're able to perform as a company means that we'll be able to keep delivering more open source code out to the community. Hopefully we're able to continue to keep the relationship that SaltStack Incorporated has with the community very clean and smooth. But things are looking up. Now, stay tuned. We're planning on the next SaltAir being in 2 weeks, because here in the U.S. we're going to be in the middle of the Thanksgiving weekend, and I might forget about doing it. I'm taking that day off in 1 week. But in 2 weeks, we'll be back on air with more updates. Hopefully, we will have arranged how to get an interview with a community member by then. And I'm sure that we'll have a lot of really exciting news and hopefully a tutorial as well. So stay tuned for the next iteration of SaltAir coming soon. Now I've got my in-depth forever while I go back to clicking on the screen share button on the Google Hangout. Now, thanks again for everybody to coming and watching us on SaltAir. And I am looking forward to the new additions that we're going to see in the next release of Salt in 10.6, which I believe is scheduled for 3 weeks from today. And I'm looking forward to the new additions that we're going to see in the new projects that are coming out. The Salt UI being heavily worked on, Salt API coming to the point of being a more stable platform that we can build on, and finally, the new Salt Cloud features that are very exciting that are coming up in the next release. So stay tuned to SaltAir and stay tuned to the new developments that are happening inside of the Salt community. Oh, I almost forgot one thing. I'm a big fan of Olo. I'm a big fan of Olo mostly because they gave us the Rookie of the Year award last year. Olo is a website that tracks open source projects, and what I'm excited about is that they just started putting out a new interface for organizations so that you can track everything that a software organization is doing instead of just tracking things on a per project basis. And we've been invited to be one of those early organizations. So if you go to olo.net, O-H-L-O-H.net, you'll be able to see the SaltStack organization, which gives an overview of everything that's going on inside of all of the Salt projects together in a more unified way. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm really thrilled about the guys over at Black Duck and the guys over at Olo by helping us put these metrics up so it's easier for us to visualize the community. And it's easier for us as a project to be able to know who's doing what in the community and highlight and communicate to the people who are helping us out more. So a big thanks out to Olo, and I'm really excited about looking at and tracking our new SaltStack organization as those metrics start to come in. They're only being compiled today. It's very, very new. So anyway, until next time.